Hello, beautiful. How are you? And how are you taking care of yourself today? And welcome to another Joyfully Ever After Through the Looking Glass conversation with yours truly, Heidi Esther. I'm a storyteller and joy coach. I walk alongside women and those who are selflessly dedicated to our families and communities. Like my guest today, to break out of like those defeating emotional and thought loops so that we can create joy on our own terms. Can I get an amen? How can I do this? I've been there in the trenches doing and being for everybody but me. I walked through a dozen years of like loss, grief, growth, and healing and discovered something miraculous. Joy. So I put my professional relationship builder hat on, veteran storyteller, mama, and I'm here to create a neighborhood where we peel back the layers and the roles that no longer serve us so we can authentically connect and welcome in our joy. Or you can kind of think of me like if Captain Marvel and Mr. Rogers had a baby who loved baking chocolate chip cookies. Okay, welcome to the Joyfully Ever After neighborhood. Okay, so today is a through the looking glass conversation. What are those? Well, these are conversations with different kinds of teachers who have new tools for us to either know or heal or grow ourselves just a little more badass. That tool could be like astrology or the Enneagram. Just like you grew up and you figured out how you liked learning through asking questions or taking notes or scraping up your knees, climbing those trees, I bring you different tools. I call them loving mirrors to see yourself so you can find ways to heal and see more of your whole self. All right. I'm going to bring on my guest today. Yay! Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Heidi. It's good to be here.
It is wonderful to be here sharing space with you. So I'm going to share a little bit about this man right here. He is a helpful and wise soul who is on this journey to joy with all of us and has a new tool to share. Today, I'm here with James Lohr, founder of Urbana Acupuncture. We are going to find out a little bit about his journey to the healing practice of acupuncture and also talk about what it is and what it isn't. Welcome, James.
Thank you.
All right. So just to give a little background, he is the founder of a community acupuncture business, which we will learn about what the differences are. Between that and what you think of as traditional acupuncture. He has been an acupunk, which I love. I just love that phrase, acupunk, because I think of like a punk rocker for healing, pretty much. For over, 22 years now?
Yeah.
And has been practicing since 2000. And he trained in New York City and Shanghai. He is from the Midwest. He's lived on both coasts. So he's lived on, what do they call? They call Michigan like the third coast, right? So you've lived on all three coasts in the United States.
Yes.
and I know he, I've only known him for a little bit, but I would call him a very soft, intuitive soul. And he is just here to collaborate with the community to bring better awareness of health and acupuncture to us all. Okay, James, what did I admit? You know, is there something else? Can you fill in the picture a little bit more for me?
No, that pretty much covers it. I've been doing it for about 22 years. I have a restaurant background before that. Yeah, I really love what I do, and I'm really happy to have found this particular way of doing what I do, and so it's really great to engage with the community and different people on stuff they're working on.
Mm-hmm. And share that, share the light, share the light that you were given to share.
Amen. Right.
All right. So I always ask this first question to all my guests.
Okay.
So, how are you and how are you taking care of yourself today?
Oh, I'm doing good today. It's nice to have the sun out and be able to, and the temperature be up a little bit. Sometimes it gets a little gray here. The way I'm taking care of myself is mostly I've been just getting in walks. That seems to be, you know, 2 or 3 times or more a day. And that's not something I like have planned out. It's just something more I found myself doing. Probably the other tool that I've been using is, it's something, I don't know where it comes from. I learned it from somebody else, but it's called the 5 shifts of attention. And you can use it however you want, but like you can, should I go through them real quick?
They're
very simple.
This is lovely. Yes.
So it's, yeah. And it's just, you know, kind of basic setup. You want to get somewhere, at least at first when you start doing this, but you can do it anywhere. So the first shift is move your attention out of your head and into your body. The next one is, what is the next one? Is from inside to outside. So one is from head to body. The next is from inside to outside. So notice your environment. Become aware of your environment. The third one is move out of the future and the past and into the present.
Oh, I love that.
And just doing these each like one for a day, kind of keep coming back to it, and then or do all 5 in the day or whatever.
Yeah, whatever you need, right?
Whatever you need. Yeah. And then number 4 is moving from scarcity to appreciation, which is always a nice thing to do, especially in the culture we're in. And the last one has taken a bit of time, but moving from complaint to desire. And so all of them together, the 5 shifts were presented to me, and they weren't really explained. They were just like, here they are, go. And so the last one was like, wait a minute, can you give me a little more? But I appreciate, because it takes something that's very flat, like being stuck in your head, to something a little more expanded, like living in your body. And same thing with having complaints. It's nice to expand that into something more fluid and dynamic.
I love that, the complaint to desire. See, I thought you were going to do complaint to like compliment or something.
Right.
But I like that because it shifts the, for me a lot, I've done a lot of work around, when jealousy and envy come up. And so I use those. Now I pause and I say, all right, what does this say for me? What is there something in my life that I want to move towards that I see in front of me reflected from someone else?
Yeah.
So that has been the most challenging one for you.
It's all of them can be challenging, right? Like,
yeah,
depending on where you are in your day. But that one was more of like, what does that mean? And so there was a lot of development there to find, I guess I was good at complaining and had to figure out, you know,
get some new exercises. Right? We get programmed to, you know, see things and then relinquish our, right? Because it's not, when you complain about something, you're not claiming responsibility for it.
Right.
Right. And so you're just saying like, so you just kind of like go and just like diffuse all of this negative energy without taking a responsibility for it.
Yeah.
But desire means you have to claim it, right? You have to say like, this is something that I want, and this is how I'm going to take steps to might get towards it, move towards it.
Yeah. And by practicing them, I found that, like, again, I kind of mentioned it before, that I've noticed when things feel maybe flat or one-dimensional or something like that. And then you don't necessarily need to identify which of the five shifts you need to do. It's more of like, oh, I need to feel that aliveness. You get used to, you know, shifting into aliveness. I don't know. Those are my words.
No, I love this. I love this. It's five. Yeah, you could do like a whole, you could do like a TED talk on this. You could do like a whole workshop, seminar, keynote.
Yeah.
You know, wow. Book, you know, whoever you want.
It's just, for me, it's like, you know, doing push-ups or some sort of calisthenic thing that helps me get there, or yoga, rather than like, I haven't really studied it much other than what I've told you, you know,
it's so for all of these different things you have like obviously to get in the body there, you might do like a physical practice, right?
Sure.
Like of the yoga or the push-ups and yeah. Do you do journaling? Do you journal them out sometimes, or do you mostly just work them out? Everyone has their own ways.
Yeah.
Right. We all got our own stuff.
Yeah. It's more of like, I've heard about this through some other stuff I was doing, and it was like, it stuck. It was just I like a simple tool that can be, you know, kind of just, I didn't know it was going to bring on that, you know, those different shifts. And it just seems very practical to me.
It is very, very powerful. And they talk about, like I've done a lot of study around regret. So that's like what sinking into your past self. And a lot of regrets, like, well, if I had done that, then it's like a future worry, right? Then in the future, I would have been more awesome in this way. Right. And so your one shift of taking away the past and the future and just saying like, today is the day I'm alive.
Yeah.
This is the container that I'm in for today. And I'm going to just kind of shed everything else.
Here I am now. What can I do? You know, it's not like all that other stuff is like, well, you can't deal with it. That's why we freak out about that stuff, is because you can't do anything about either of them. So yeah, I love that.
It's simple and profound, and you know, it's that practice that works for you. I do something similar in the morning. I'm a journaler generally. And so I start with like, I do like four, I call it the 4-3-2-1, my launch sequence. And I do like four affirmations. And then I do three things. I write down three things that I'm grateful for and why, so that I can invite that abundance in. So I do the affirmations to kind of like wrap myself in like my future potential and how I want to show up today. Like, what clothes am I going to put on today? Affirmations. My gratitude is like kind of wrapping myself up in abundance and self-love. And then I write down two things that I'm going to do today because I have a small plate. It takes me a long time to do things. I'm a highly sensitive person. I have a deep feeler. So things take me a while. And so I just do two things. And then I do one thing. Then I write down one thing I'm proud of myself from the day before, because I come from a mindset of just bulldozing through life and everything and never pausing to celebrate myself ever.
Very, very well taught in this culture, right?
Yes.
Very effective strategy, whoever came up with that.
Just suck it up and just get through it. We'll just get through this. No, why can't we just enjoy it and enjoy the steps and enjoy the outcome, right?
Right.
So, because I want to send signals to the universe that like, I love the work that I'm doing and I love the results that I'm getting. I don't want to send signals to the universe that, you know, the work sucks, but the reward is great. I don't want that, because how I live my life is the journey, not the destination.
Yeah, right.
So, so I call that my launch sequence, and I haven't done it in a while. Our schedules are a little wonky right now. My wife took a job that has a completely different schedule, and so our whole family schedule is a little kiddy-wumpus. Is the best way I can use it without a string of vulgar words. And so I'm just trying to get sleep. I'm like trying to preserve my sleep, which we came up with a new word for me and my moods in our house. It's called crangry. So it's like I get cranky, tired, Hungary, I guess. Krangery. So I'm just trying to.
I'm personally familiar with those too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was like, yeah. Okay, all right. So today I am feeding myself really healthy food and I'm drinking a lot of tea. Peppermint tea has been my go-to lately. Red tea, white tea. What else? Oh, English breakfast tea is one of my faves. Mm. So, all right. Great. All right. So we're going to move on to the journey. So can you talk a little bit about, like, can you dispel some misconceptions of, like, what do you say when people say, like, I could never do acupuncture because it's needles and, can you kind of dispel, like, talk a little bit about acupuncture and dispel the needle myth?
Yeah, that's great. A lot of people, the clinic is ground floor level. It has a sliding glass door it's in a mall. So people just walk in and that's by intention to kind of just be accessible that way.
Because it is very inviting. Yes.
Oh, good. Yes. That's the idea. And there is a lot of, like, not only is it like there's some natural anxiousness or anxiety around the pins. But also, what is it? What is it? You know, like it's so kind of outside the regular things we're used to.
Yeah, Western ideals of how we take care of ourselves in different ways, right? Yeah. So, like, there's personal hygiene, and then there's, like, oh, all the stuff for getting in shape, and then there's all the stuff for health, which revolves around doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is outside of all those buckets, however.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been around for centuries, and so, and it's, you know, it's super safe and gentle. It's so... My usual thing that I tell people, it's a centuries old embodiment practice that moves you from brings about a calm, restful state that helps reduce pain and stress and kind of promotes like a better health, overall vitality. And this is done by placing these hair-like, hair-thin pins.
Yeah, they're so tiny. Yeah.
On the surface of our body that's, you know, amazingly responsive to the world we're in.
So these are, it's like on the lines of our, like, surface nerves. Is that what you would say?
This needs more research kind of thing. What is it doing? But basically, by placing, you know, what's being activated is is just below the surface, sort of the connective tissue and what's called myofascial planes. But basically, there's just the way the body is structured. There's just below the surface, there's this material, connective tissue, that's sort of, you know it by nature already, that it's responsive to heat, pressure, even like danger or, you know, bad vibes or whatever.
Like, yeah, when the hair on your, you know, arms in the back of your neck stands up, or like when you put your arm or a part of your body next to something hot, right? Connected. Your whole body's like sending you that big signal right there.
Yeah, it's another sense organ, right? Like, mm-hmm. Eyes, we can see, we can hear, but we feel not only just like, you know, oh, this is bumpy or scratchy, but mm-hmm. also, like you said, heat, it's raining, you know, very simple stuff to like more subtle stuff, you know, between people or in situations, you know, where people just commonly say like bad vibes or good vibes or healing situations. And then to address the, like, for the most part, yeah, it's natural to have a little anxiety about the pins. And that's why I try and make it accessible for people to try it out. Most people like they try, and this is what I normally do at the clinic. I try one pin to see what it's like. And for the most part, people are kind of like, oh, that's all? Like they're totally.
Oh, you already did something?
Yeah, right. They're totally underwhelmed.
Yeah, that was my experience.
And then from there, right. It's it does is seems to, like I said, it brings about a calming state, and we can work on, you know, lots of different things from there. But a lot of people, and so, yeah, so it's great because it's non-toxic. It doesn't, you know, we're not putting anything into your system.
Yeah, non-invasive.
That you're going to have to deal with some other time, or there's, you know, the side effects are, it's calming, it's helps with sleep, it reduces pain, you know, like.
It's all the good stuff. Yeah, my son, who's in high school, and he's taking psychology right now. I brought him to acupuncture, and on the way home, he's like, you know, Mom, what's really happening is it's just resetting your parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
And it's because we're mostly in our sympathetic nervous system in modern day society, but it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
And so I think of like, oh, it's like we just went and, well, for those of us who are older, like we just went and changed our fuses, or we flipped the fuse in the fuse box, right? To kind of get ourselves up.
Or the computer analogy, mm-hmm. you know, you restart or reboot. And it feels very much like that. You kind of like once the pins are placed, you kind of get very calm. And you get quite aware of your body too, in different ways and maybe what's different things going on, but then it all seems to sort of drop away. I don't really know how to describe it, but you just get very relaxed. You kind of zone out on different levels. And then you're kind of like, you restarted, like you're saying, you're kind of like, oh, and okay, I feel different. I feel calm. It's very matter of fact that way. Or just like some people like snore for like 30 seconds or less. And they're like, then they're wide awake again and kind of completely restored.
Wow. Wow. That's fat. That's a fast reset right there.
Yeah.
They must be with Macintosh instead of Windows.
Right. Some of them are. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little bit longer. And that's something I really like you were saying earlier. It's something that becomes self-prescribable. You know, once you've had a few sessions, you already know that like, oh, I need to get back there and do a little bit more. Two or three years go by. I have people I haven't seen in 5 years and they come back and they're like, yeah, I really need to get more, you know, to do the work on it. So that's very self-empowering as a patient to know how to use it rather than me like.
Yeah, we're the prescribers, right?
That's right.
We can, because we learned, right? We learn to embody, like, feel that, get present in our body, right?
That's right.
Feel what's going on.
Yeah, what is that called? Interoception.
Interoception.
Ooh. Yeah, and so, like, proprioception is feeling your body in space, like, you know, not bumping into walls or whatever. This is, interoception is being more aware of, like, feeling your interior of your body. Interior is a funny word there, but yeah, it's just feeling your body. Being aware of like, ooh, this stress state is causing my shoulders to be up, or what is maybe with a condition, what is something I can do to help bring, you know, like high blood pressure, not doesn't necessarily fix it, but it helps you regulate it yourself. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, see your doctor and all that, because those conditions.
This is an and. This is not an or. This is an and.
Right. It works really well with those, with many different things: physical therapy, massage, yoga, chiropractic. All those. Yeah. It doesn't. You know, it's a really nice and.
So I want to shift a little bit and time travel back a little bit. So can you tell me a little bit about what your life was like before you found acupuncture and what maybe you could describe like your first experience with it?
Okay. Yeah. I went to the University of Illinois for chemical engineering a while ago. Back in 80, I got here in 84. And 1984. And I found that engineering was interesting, but I ultimately didn't follow through on that. I was really like, I don't think this is exactly right for me. And I found myself in the restaurant world doing all different things, cooking, managing, whatever.
So that's a lot. That's probably a lot, right? So you're working like all the time, or at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's exciting and, you know, it was very creative. I was part of here in town, I was part of one stage of the Red Herring Vegetarian Restaurant.
Oh, I did.
Around
I
that time.
That. And, oh, that's cool.
So I kind of took it from, it wasn't really operating at the time. So I kind of got,
you got experience. It going.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
Yeah, many other people too, right? But yeah, I reached a certain point with the restaurant world where I was like, I kind of need something else, and I didn't know what it was. You know, I knew it was sort of out there, but most of the out there stuff wasn't because of my engineering background. It didn't really it wasn't really meshing with that. But I knew I needed to get out of Illinois to find something more, or that's what I felt like. But I ended up in Brooklyn. A friend of mine was living there. Right away, I'm working in restaurants again because
a lot of those there.
That's what I'm. There's a lot of those there, and that's what I'm skilled in. And you can't really be doing nothing there. You have to kind of make your way. But I ended up at one of these places that teaches classes, all different kinds of things, and more on the sort of esoteric stuff. But I started studying acupressure, which was just using your hands on different points, active acupuncture points on the body.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of acupressure. So mm-hmm. Do people use that in conjunction with massages sometimes, like massage therapists?
Sometimes, yeah. Acupuncture? Yeah, like shiatsu is one version of it, which is more, let's say, active than the style I learned. What I learned was the person would be laying face up on a massage table, fully clothed, and maybe I would hold a point back here and one down on their leg. And you just kind of be with the points for a minute. And the body starts responding in different ways. Again, just...
Do you normally do the two points there? Like you're completing some kind of a circuit?
Yeah, very much like that. Yeah. So yeah, you use both, in this school I learned, but it totally made sense to me for the first time. Wow, I like this. I would do something, I would hold points and something would happen in the person's, physical structure or their breathing would change. And I knew what I was doing. My hands knew what they were doing. I didn't necessarily have the schooling on it all the way yet, but I knew this is what I wanted to do. And then then you get to the end of that training and they're like, well, you can become a massage therapist, go to school for that, or become an acupuncturist and go to school.
So this
for
is
that.
Where the path can diverges.
Yeah. And so I went and got it. I was like, well, I don't know what acupuncture is. So I went in Manhattan. There was a program, a harm reduction program, where sometimes there were for people who are addicted to drugs so they had a free ear acupuncture program. They just used points on the ears it's a great protocol that is used all over the place for addiction recovery, stress reduction, detox. They use it in the military they call it battlefield acupuncture, but it's such a simple, anybody can really learn the simple points and then bring the stress level down a lot. And again, very simple and usable, like user-friendly for both the practitioner and the participant. Anyway, so I got one, I'm living in Manhattan in Brooklyn, it's very, very busy life there, but
So you're taking these classes and you're doing the restaurant stuff.
Right. And I go to this place, very simple setup. Go in there, you sign your name, you sit down in an office chair, they put the pins in, they walk away. They said, take your own pins out, put them in the sharps container over there.
DIY. And, there you go.
It's very, and it's, nobody's making any money doing this. It's like, it's very, and yeah, it was donation based, I think you could give. But anyways, so again, it's hard to describe that first, and you've experienced too, where you're very relaxed and calm. And I sit there maybe it was half an hour, maybe it was 45 minutes. And, but just kind of, all right, I feel like I'm ready to go. I take my pins out, put it out, and then I walk out into the world of crazy Manhattan and get on the subway. And I'm like, okay, this is, this is something I want to work with. And I was very relaxed and very different. You don't know how armored and overstimulated you are in a place like Manhattan. But even here, you get stressed out.
Just modern life. You don't know how. I have an acupuncture story and another story. So at some point, I think it was a few years ago, I had a friend and I just randomly talked to her about coffee. And she was like, I do oat creamer. And I was like, oh, okay, because I'm just a traditional, half and half kind of girl.
Sure.
And she's like, oat creamer is the best. It's so delicious and it's healthier. And so I was like, okay, we're exploring healthy things at home. I'll try this. And after that first cup of coffee, I didn't realize that for my previous, 30 years of drinking coffee, my stomach didn't feel good after I had the first cup. Mm-hmm. But once I had that cup and it didn't hurt, I then knew, it then informed me about my previous 30 years of experience.
Right.
And so and I was like, oh, okay. So now I'm a oat milk kind of lady. But with acupuncture, I've been on two visits now. So I've brought all members of my family.
Thank you. That's really, it's really great to share it too. It's kids really, I don't know. It's great for them to know about it.
Yes, right? I know. I feel like I'm just, I tell my kids that I am not paying for their weddings. I am paying for them to fall in love with themselves. And nice. So whatever tools that takes, right? Where it be like therapy, acupuncture, whatever they need. That's where I'm putting the coins, right? I'm putting them in their jar so they feel whole and they fall in love with themselves and then they don't need someone. It's not about finding someone to complete them. It's finding someone to complement them as already complete.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. So my first visit, I would say, was very unremarkable in terms of how I felt. I would say both visits, I was kind of engaging my caretaker self, like kind of always checking on my kids and my wife. But the second visit, which I came in and I told you, I said, I'm just really stressed out. And then you put pins kind of like on different places of my forehead and my head. And then I walked out of there without lower back pain. And then I realized I can't think of any other time in my adult life that I didn't have that resonating pain. Just like I didn't realize that my stomach had been hurting for 30 years after drinking all that half and half. Like, we don't know that we need the reset until we get it.
Yeah. And that wow, that's great. I couldn't have asked for a better explanation of how it goes. Sometimes the first time it's just getting used to the whole thing of it, right?
New experience.
Yeah. Like, what is it going to do? What am I going to be like? Yeah. But then, yeah. And continuing with it, you learn more what how it affects you, but also how you can work with it. And some of the things, you know, if it's an ongoing thing, it's really nice to keep reminding, or, you know, like with anything, sort of like going to the gym, you sort of remind the body, but this one reminds the body to relax or mm-hmm. be calm, yes. or be aware of itself, that like, hey, I'm having a lot of emotions, and I know that because I'm really tight here and here, or something like that, where you make these connections that are, you're able to move out of that sympathetic state, which is, you know, much more tense and intense.
Yeah, fight or flight. All right, what are we doing today? All right, yeah. What do we got to do? Here we go. Yeah. Okay, let's go here and there.
Like we were talking earlier, like, wait, how do I enjoy my life this day? You know, mm-hmm. it helps you find that more easily.
Yes. Yes. Just connect back into present, right?
Mm-hmm.
You shed the future and the past, you connect back into present, you connect back into like that abundance mode, right? Out of the scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, I'm going to welcome in like my body feeling great. And that is an abundant feeling.
Yeah.
That body feeling calm and reset. And I think that even though it's kind of like, you know, shedding, right? It's like you're shedding all of these extraneous stressors. You're adding on like not a protective coating, but just like a buffer to be like, it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. We're going to mm-hmm. figure this out. And right, you tap back into that, like, I have faith that I'm going to figure it out, whatever is coming my way. And I'm not going to choose not to swim in the, you know, my anxious waters of tomorrow or my regret-filled waters of yesterday. I'm going to just be today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, not only beauty, but, like, options of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have breathing room, you have flexibility...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can tap into that joy, right? That present moment. Cause that's, joy is not something that you can't plan for it, right? It's today or it's not.
That's right.
That's just like,
yeah, well, that's, I'm going to be happy
someday. Like, I'm not going to,
yeah.
You know, oftentimes we get to those. Yeah. And it's not there.
You want to be joyful now. It's like tomorrow. Well, great, I can be joyful tomorrow, but what about right now?
Yeah, you got to embody it today, important. Right? You embody it today, yeah. More likely you will call it in back in tomorrow, right? Let's make it a recurring pattern of joy versus just waiting for it to be someday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, yeah. Oh, I love this. I love this. So, okay. So just a quick wrap up. So my experience of the community acupuncture is a very calming room of many chairs where people can just come in, get their own lazy boy, hang out, and, you know, kind of, it's like, it's not a group setting. You're not all talking to each other. It's just pretty, it's very calm. I personally appreciated the different white noises because I love myself a good ocean wave and seagull in the background.
Yeah. And some people wear they have their own music or their noise canceling stuff or just it's a lot of that fades away right after you know, once you're kind of relaxing into everything, at least it seems to for me. Or yeah, so we try and make a nice soothing environment. The community setting is a little bit different, and it's nice because it tends to take advantage of a lot of things that might be, you know, like at first problematic, like what is acupuncture and what is going to happen? And sorry, my eyes there. But
also, and like, you go into a room and everyone's like asleep. You're like, must not be that bad because everybody's right. Passed out in here.
Right. It's a very accessible thing. You can come in. That's what, yeah. You see what's happening there already. It's mm-hmm. really not like dramatic, and it's very low risk in a way. you can just roll up your pant, take off your socks and shoes, roll up your pant legs and sleeves, and kick back on a recliner, and you're ready to go. You're not in a room.
You're not on a medical. You're not on a metal medical table, or
you're not
kind of a massage table,
stripping down or anything like that. It's very, and you see other people there, so it makes it very safe. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, again, I try one, and I always give you the you know, like any of them. If there are any a problem, then we take care of you. It's so simple. There's not really much there to take care of.
Yeah. Which
probably the only thing is, you know, just give yourself a moment to relax.
Yeah. Just relax.
And another part of it is too, it's because I can see more people, the price, the fees are more affordable. So, and that takes care of two things, because acupuncture often isn't covered or not very well covered by insurance. This is about the, you know, like a copay price. But also it helps because acupuncture is useful if you're working on a particular, you know, condition or pain or whatever. It works best when you can do a few of them together or close together if you want to, you know, get good results. So it's then again something you're empowered to do to get there enough and to
write your own
make those changes. And I like it because of my restaurant background. It's very much like people can come in, take advantage of it, and enjoy each other's company in this really different kind of way. You know, like
it's like you got the tables right, and you're serving the good stuff. Right?
And everybody supports each other that way. They're like, it's hard to describe, but like you put off a vibe when you're in that parasympathetic state that not only people can see, but again, they feel, and they can easily like, oh, I want to slip into that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, all right, we're going to go back. We're going back in the den now. We're all going to have a nice nap together.
Right. And it's no big deal. Here.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Like to heal. It isn't this like weird, again, isolated thing that, you know, that we're taught in this culture of like, you go into a doctor's space or you're in this MRI space and, you know,
there's nothing bright lights and they're looking at you and poking around and you're freaking out. It's like the opposite of that.
It's isolating. It's, other words that are not necessarily positive that you can choose from. And, but here it's taking advantage of your, and as a first line or, you know, like I'm not feeling well, I'm stressed or I have a pain here. First line thing before you use the bigger guns heavier technologies that we have luckily available to us.
You use that to treat, right? Because your body will so much more readily repair itself if it is not in constant like fight or flight mode, right?
That's right.
So once it's resting, it can repair so much more easily. Yes, I love that. Amen. So we're going to, I'm going to do this segment. We're going to move on tonight. This is another question. And yes. I hope you prepared for this because some people don't know the answer. I can come up with an answer for you, but generally it's you. It's called the spotlight moment. So we talked a little bit about this before, but talk to me about your peculiar genius. So your unique mix of talents, personality, quirks, weirdnesses, knowledge that make you uniquely qualified to do what you do.
Well, I think it goes, we talked a little bit about, I knew I needed to do something different for a while. College and then post-college doing restaurant work and really finding out that something about working with my hands with people was especially fulfilling for me. I got excited about it. It was something I wanted to do. And they seem to have a mind of their own, so to speak. I don't know if that sounds wrong, but like when I'm looking for the spot, I need to just let the fingertips know where they are. Mm-hmm. But also what I've learned, I think, is that being able to, what I feel like is I do is translate. I have to listen to what people are saying and translate it into those points somewhat. Sometimes way easier than others, but along the way. So it's very much, I appreciate being, you know, it's an honor really to work with people, to guide them in that way of where is health? How do we find our way out of this stressful pain thing? And something in the listening and being there for people, witnessing, is something that I get a lot out of, and I feel like that's part of what the practice is about, right? That's where those spaces where healing takes place. I hope that's that answers the question.
That's where your genius lies, for sure. And I will add that my wife came in with a headache to acupuncture, and so she kind of like told you, right, like where, mm-hmm. where it was, and so through her experience, which I think is probably about 40 minutes to an hour, I don't remember,
right.
I was in the dreamy state, the headache moved from her neck, shoulder area into her chest, and then it moved into her back, and then it left.
And I'm not surprised to hear that, although I realize at the same time, it's sort of hard to talk about these things, or sounds very unusual. Like, is it still a headache when it's in your back?
It was in my head now, or it's in my heart, like my heart just now, and I feel like short of breath, but then wait, oh, it's moving somewhere else. Oh, wait, it's gone. So, so that's the way the body's right. The body's resetting. Mm-hmm. So sometimes things are harder to move around than others because she's a frequent migraine headache sufferer. So,
like I would never been able to tell her that was going to happen. That's some information that's how it went that time, but also how that with health, you can learn stuff about what's going on. Mm-hmm. There's probably other connections there that, or, you know, maybe it was just that time. Maybe you'll learn from that further sympathetic or parasympathetic state where you're just more interoceptive, so to speak. So,
That was fantastic. So proven peculiar genius right there, right over there. So, for sure. All right. Thank you. So, you're welcome. The next thing is, so if you had a magic wand and everyone, like you waved it and everyone would instantly believe what you told them, what would you say?
Wow. I had an answer early written down somewhere and I've forgotten it, but it seems to be something... I'm stealing somebody else's words here, but it's along the lines of the longest relationship you'll ever have is with your breath, and loving your breath, .. I don't know the answer to that, but like, so finding that, taking care of yourself, being aware and with or other, whatever those things, particles of speech is that called, but with, around, noticing your breath and your body, and it's where the life is, where the joy is.
Like loving every breath of your life and cherishing that and honoring that in every time you inhale and you exhale. And
right.
I love that. I love that.
Mm, and it's not necessarily a key to happiness. It's
a key to what? Present moment and being alive, right?
Yeah.
Embodying yourself and honoring yourself. with through the breath. I love that. I love that. Yeah. All right. So, I'm actually, I'm going to step away really quick from the camera and grab my snowman of affirmation.
That's great.
All right. So all of my guests get a affirmation from the snowman of affirmation, my little glass jar. And so I have yellow, pink, orange, and green. James, do you have a favorite? Or you want me to just pick?
Let's go with orange.
Orange. Okay, I'm digging to the middle here. Okay. Ooh, I love who I am and who I am becoming. Ah, a little nod to your future self.
Good timing.
And present self, right? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to pick one for me. I'm going pink. It's kind of a pink year for me, which pink's usually not my color. I mean, even wearing a pink shirt, it's weird. yay. I am priority number one in my life. So not my giant list of things I have to do.
Yeah. But me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. And for everyone out there watching live or in the replay, I am picking a nice green one. Ooh, I create space to heal, love, and grow into my happiest self, which, yes, could also include some community acupuncture. The snowman of affirmation, he really delivers the truth bombs.
That's
every time he never disappoints. Yeah, yeah, he's pretty magical like that. All right. So where do people find you? I have your website up here, urbana-acu.com.
Yep. That's a good place. There you can find out more information there. I'm on Facebook and Google and other things. We're located in Lincoln Square Mall on the east side, just kind of, what is that, north of the Common Ground Food Co-op, right by Amara Yoga and the Health and Harmony massage place there. You can find us there. Our phone number, you want that? It's 217-344-9118. Awesome. The website should get you there. You can schedule online and find out your questions. You can email us through there. Mm-hmm. And there's a contact form, and that's probably the simplest.
Yeah. And if you're not from our area, you can look up community acupuncture in your own area to find a nice little space by you to invite in some healing and a nice little control alt delete for your nervous system.
That's right.
As well. James, thank you so much for sharing space.
Today. It's been really great. Thank you.
It's been fantastic. Absolutely loved having you on here. And, you know, and I wish you all the best in acupuncture, and I'll see you tomorrow for my next appointment.
That'd be great.
And have a blessed day. For anyone that has any questions about acupuncture, you can feel free you can always email me at howdy@heidiester.com or put them in the chat below the video, and we will get your question. I'll send them over to James and we'll get your questions answered. All right. Thank you so much. For joining us and sending you love, light, and laughter. Until next time, I am Heidi Ester.